It is absolutely so, so great to see so many of you here this morning. And the Lord has put a word on my heart. And this is a significant moment. This is a significant time in the life of our church. And so I just want to hear an amen and a yes. Just don't let me stand here. But give me lots of yes and amens as I'm ministering this morning. Well, we've been announcing now, Pastor David and Rochelle are actually in London. They went to the Hillsong Conference last week, had a great time, and they send their love to all of you. They're having a great time in London with their son, Jared. And so what I wanted to share with you is that, as has been announced for several weeks, we are going to spend the next month focusing on the Holy Spirit. And it is my privilege today to launch us into this by setting us up with some foundational understanding about all things to do with the Holy Spirit, the who, the what, the why of this broad aspect to our Christian faith. Now, I know that a lot of you have a lot of knowledge about the Holy Spirit. But you know, today, what God is wanting to do is He's wanting to give you something fresh, something that is alive, that can come alive in your life, in your heart, that you can apply to the everyday. So I'm going after more than just a look at the Holy Spirit. I'm going after that every single person in this room would receive a fresh infilling on their journey together with the Holy Spirit. So would you join your faith with mine this morning, and we're going to pray together and agree together. So Holy Spirit, we pray this morning that as we look at your word, you will refresh and renew our experience with you today. That every heart will be touched in this room. That there would, Father God, just be a newness, a lightness, a freshness, Father God, as you minister, Father God, to every heart this morning. In Jesus' name and all God's people. Starting in the book of John, chapter 14. And I want you to try and picture what's going on, because this is when Jesus is talking to his disciples and explaining that he is going to leave earth and he's going to be with his Father God in heaven to prepare a place for them. And the disciples are with Jesus, they're loving hanging out with him, but he's now telling them and trying to prepare them for the fact that he's actually going to leave and go to be with the Father. And so he says in verses 25 and 26, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." But nonetheless, the disciples are still incredibly heartbroken, because Jesus is leaving them, and they're trying to get their heads around this idea that any form of replacement to Jesus himself is kind of not going to cut it for them. And the disciples are so in love with Jesus, and he's comforting them, he's reassuring them that he is sending someone else down who is the ultimate comforter. And he describes the Holy Spirit in verse 16 as another that is just like me. And this was the announcement to the world of the third person of the Trinity. Jesus tells them, "We are all the same, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." So Jesus assures them, look, you can still have, you know, easy access to me, you can talk to me anytime, but what I'm actually leaving you is actually going to be better. He tells them that I am sending you some person that will actually reside and dwell right within you. Amen? And what you are going to do in my name will be done, because the power of this person, the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, will be inside of you. So let's just give a little bit more context to this whole idea of the Trinity, because really, you know, the Word of God says that we see in a glass darkly. And so that the whole idea of three persons in one is a difficult concept to get around in our own human understanding. But there are three members of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they are all equal, but they have different roles and different functions. They work together in complete harmony and in cooperation with one another at all times, but they are distinctly different. The Holy Spirit always brings glory to Jesus and to the Father. Now, this is some of the roles of the Holy Spirit. And as I'm reading them out, I want you to think about today, what is it that you are needing from the Holy Spirit? What sort of help are you needing this morning from the Holy Spirit? Here are some of the things that the Holy Spirit brings to us. He is a coach. He is a helper. He is a way maker. He is a guide. He is a counselor. He is an advocate. He is a chain breaker from addiction. The Holy Spirit has the essential qualities of a person. And yet, you know, it's easy for us to get a visual of what God looks like. There's been plenty of different visual portrayals of what God looks like. There's been plenty of different visual portrayals of what Jesus looks like. But so often we have this idea that there's this kind of almost like this ghost-like sort of thing that lingers, but we don't actually so often see the Holy Spirit as the third person of the Trinity, that he wants to be in relationship with us just like we are in relationship with the Father and with the Son. And so the Holy Spirit has all of the essential qualities of a person. He can be lied to. He can be grieved. He is eternal. He is omnipresent. That means he is present everywhere at the same time. He is O-M-N-I-C-I-E-N-T. Say it with me. That's it. He is present everywhere at the same time. He is omnipotent, meaning he has unlimited power and supremacy. And so because of this unique union of the Trinity, we have, look at it like this, three different avenues that we can go to depending on our need. We can get to God through any three members of the Trinity. Now, you may say, well, why did God decide to have this third person? What was the whole purpose of God in all of this? Well, God reconciled us to himself through Jesus dying on the cross. And so that we would never, ever have to do life alone again, that humanity would never have to do life again, God did not want us to ever feel alone. So he put the Holy Spirit right inside every single one of us. And he wants to make his home inside of us. And the Holy Spirit is with us. He is in us to teach, to guide, to help us in the everyday. We have God's Spirit inside of us so that when we have those times of anxiousness or worry, the Holy Spirit can speak to us deep inside and assure us that we are not alone. He can actually give us this peace that we describe as a peace that passes natural understanding. And that's what the Holy Spirit does when he is inside of us. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Now, in order for us to live out this supernatural salvation that we have been given, we need the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit empowering us on the inside and giving us His ability to do supernatural signs and wonders in His name. You might be here this morning, you may have been a Christian your whole life, you may have been a Christian for many, many years. Like me, I've been in church since I was 3 weeks old. But you know, so often what we do is we use our own self-effort and we try and do things in our own strength. But this morning, what I want to suggest to you is that this is a day when you need to reconnect to the Holy Spirit inside of you in order to live every day as a victorious Christian. Because, you know, so often without even realizing it, we revert back to trying to manage our world with our own wisdom, with our own strength, in our own ability. But Real Life Church, today is the day we need to reconnect to that inner working of His mighty power that is so accessible, that is so readily available to every single one of us. So, let's take a moment, a sila moment. A reality check, as it were. Because I've just shown you through Scripture from the Word of God that we, every single one of us in this room, no matter how we're feeling today, have the power and the access of the whole resources of heaven at our disposal. I'm going to say that again. We have the power and the access of the whole resources of heaven at our disposal. We have, Andrew, the Holy Spirit of the living God inside of us. In fact, we are told that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. But as I was preparing this message throughout the week, I actually had a prophetic picture. And I want to describe it to you now because this is what I saw. I saw individuals standing in a scene that looked like a drought. And it was dry and it was arid. And they were standing there. And they were so, so thirsty. They were desperately thirsty and they knew they needed water desperately. And right there where they could see and they could touch was water. So here they are, they're in a drought, they're in a desert, they're in an arid place. But right there, readily available, is water. Amen. Amen? And what I saw prophetically was that many of us are in that place where we feel really dry and thirsty spiritually. And all we have to do, it's this simple, Real Life Church. All we have to do is taste and see that the Lord is good. Will you take the lid off this morning? Now, some of you are sitting there and you're saying to yourselves, Bethwyn, I'm familiar with all the stuff you're talking about. I've seen it all, I've heard it all, this is so familiar to me. Same old, same old. And there's kind of like this cynicism, this skepticism that has crept into your heart and your soul. Maybe you're distracted. There's so many things, so many challenges, so many problems in your life that you're distracted by the cares of this life. You're worried about your children. You're worried about your finances. There's so many distractions that it almost seems impossible to just to center in and focus onto God. Maybe you are disappointed. Beth, when I've tried all this, you've had a bad experience and you don't trust the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is wanting to connect with you today. And as we took communion this morning, that gave us an opportunity to have a fresh start. To say, Father God, I'm putting all of that in my past. And I'm looking with the eye of faith. I'm getting my eyes and I'm fixing them firmly on Jesus, because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. So what do we need to do in real terms? We need to reconnect with the Holy Spirit today. We need to receive his refreshing touch in our life once again. So this is what he's wanting to do to you and for you today. He's wanting to empower you. He wants to guide you. He wants to counsel you. He wants to advocate for the injustices that have been done in your life. He wants to break the chains and the addictions that you're struggling with today. And so here are some really get down and practical strategies that we as a church, as a community of believers, can do this morning to reconnect with the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. First of all, it's very simple. It's just one word and it's just yes. You know, you may have been offering all sorts of reasons, like I've just mentioned, as to why you're feeling dry. Yeah, you're feeling thirsty. But you know, this morning, I'm going to give you opportunity later on just to come and respond and just say, yes, here I am. With all of my questions, with all of my cares, I'm coming to you and I'm asking you to renew my faith, to believe that the Holy Spirit is readily accessible, just like the Father and the Son. Number two is make time and a place and a space for the Holy Spirit in your everyday world. Many years ago, I heard the story of a great man who was one of the Australian early pioneers, A.T. Davidson. And every morning, he had a chair in his study. He would sit in this chair and he would invite the Holy Spirit to begin to refresh him and to speak to him and to minister to him. And, you know, it wasn't about the chair. It was about making the time, the place, and the space. But what we do so often is we set ourselves up for failure because we say, I'm going to pray for 3 hours, you know, every day. It's never going to happen. But you can pray for 10 minutes. Yeah? So set yourself realistic goals that are actually achievable. Don't set yourself up for failure and condemnation, but say, God, here I am, I'm saying yes, but you know my human frailty. I really want to connect with you. I really want to connect with the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I'm going to make time and a place and a space to be Spirit-fed and Spirit-led. I have a niece called Megan. And she, on this particular area of prayer, purchased a very bright yellow chair. And she bought this chair and she bought it so she would sit on it and pray. It's bright yellow. And every time she walks past it in her living room, it's kind of like a loud reminder, hey, have I connected with the Holy Spirit today? Have I allowed him to refresh me? Have I allowed him to empower me? And I'm not saying you should get a bright yellow chair, by the way. But what I'm saying is find something that works for you. Time, a place, and a space. To be Spirit-fed and Spirit-led. Amen? Remember that the Holy Spirit resides in you and you can ask for his assistance throughout the day. If you need wisdom, he is so willing to help. He's not just to be found on a yellow chair. He is inside of you. Yeah? He wants to guide you. He wants to link arms with you and walk the everyday with you. So, for example, if you're struggling, you're working with a work colleague and it's difficult, you've got a strained relationship, you can ask the Holy Spirit to give you his wisdom on how to negotiate and handle that difficult situation. And even I want to encourage our young mums. Maybe you're having a particularly trying day with your toddler. You can ask the Holy Spirit on strategies on how to handle that long day and that challenging behaviour of that toddler. He wants to partner with you through every single thing that you go through. The things that concern you concern him. Pray over your children. Ask the Holy Spirit to give them his peace. The key to be in constant communication is, as I said, to find the time, the place and the space. Now, I grew up in Cloverdale, 88 Gabriel Street. And my room where I slept was right next door to our bathroom. And every single morning, I would hear my dad and he would be having a shower and he would be connecting with the Holy Spirit. He would just be talking to God in a very ordinary way. And he would just be calling out to him and asking for his assistance, for his help, for his strength, for his guidance. And I grew up seeing that even in the shower, that we can actually connect. Yeah? It really doesn't matter where we are. And so my dad made a choice every day to center his affections and his attention on the Lord at the start of every morning. Yeah? You know, there is a distinct purpose for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can drop other people's needs into our hearts. And an example of this, and I've shared this with you before, some of you have heard the story, of after I'd had my first daughter, Amy, I had a series of miscarriages. And I became so worried that I wouldn't be able to have any more children. And there was a pastor in our church called Stan Walker. And he didn't know anything about how concerned I was about being able to have another child. And I was in my mid-30s and time was going on and I was getting more anxious and more anxious. And I just needed to know that it was going to be okay, that I would be able to have that other little person. And we were at the carols and Pastor Stan was a joke teller. And he was telling me this joke, and as I was walking away, he goes, "Hey, Bethwyn, the Holy Spirit just wants to tell you it's going to be okay. You're going to be okay." Do you know what that meant to me? I had been so worried, so internally anxious about what was happening and the timing and everything that was surrounding that circumstance at the time. And just that one little word was such an encouragement to my heart. I'm so glad that Mary's here this morning because many years ago, my brother-in-law Tony had just been given a diagnosis that he had motor neuron disease. And my sister Kerry had not told anybody that they'd just found out this terrible diagnosis. He'd been given a couple of years to live at the most. Now, Mary, who's here with us this morning and at Real Life Church, Mary was fellowshipping at the church we were at then, and she comes up to Kerry on this Sunday in church, and she very gently says to Kerry, "Kerry, is your husband sick? Because the Holy Spirit has prompted her to start praying for Tony because he had a disease, a serious disease." Mary, I don't even know if you remember that, but Kerry was telling me this story. And Your word from the Holy Spirit reassured Kerry that God was with her and Tony in this huge trial of their faith. How wonderful the way the Holy Spirit uses people to come alongside, speak words of life, speak words of faith into our hearts at times when we most need them. Speaking again of Pastor Stan Walker, the Holy Spirit would often give him words of encouragement and insight to help people. And in his lifetime, he died at 93. In his lifetime, he prayed for many, many women who were having trouble conceiving, and he would go up to them to encourage them that the Holy Spirit had told him to pray for them. And then what would happen is, time and time and time again, they would race up to him a few months later and say, "Pastor Stan, you'll never believe this, I'm pregnant." And some people had been trying for years and years and years, and they conceived a child after years and years of barrenness. That's the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. The Holy Spirit can drop ideas and strategies into our hearts as we connect with him. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He actually wants to get down and help us. And a few weeks ago, Pastor David and Pastor Ken and Fred Tubby were going to the football. And Fred Tubby came into the office, and because I'm the newbie, he was telling me about this building. And he was saying how when you first got this building, many of you know this story, that it was a complete wreck. It was a pot black building, and it was really, the word was, look, we don't even know if you're going to be able to do anything with this. But Fred Tubby and others actually decided they were going to take this project on, along with many of you faithful people here. And Fred shared with me how that time and time again, they would need a particular type of tradesperson. And through prayer and the help of the Holy Spirit, he would be connected to just the right tradesperson. This person would know this person, would know this person, and all of a sudden, here is exactly what the church needs to do the next part of the refurb, and they have this person. But not only that, Fred was sharing with me how that the estimate for the restoration of this whole building was around $500,000. And the lady who had given that quote came back when it was done, and she said to Fred, "I never even thought you'd be able to pull this off. I just thought this place was just a complete and absolute demolition site." And she had said, "It's going to cost you at least $500,000. But Fred was able to say to her, "Well, we did it. And how much do you think it cost us?" And she said, "Oh, well, I said $500,000, probably more, having a look at what you've done." He said, "No." He said, "It cost us $60,000 for the materials to do the whole building." Because Real Life Church had a mind to work. Yeah? And the Holy Spirit, with the cooperation of the Holy Spirit, was able to create this place and this space where people can come, broken people can come, where homeless people can come and receive genuine care. You know, I've been here about 10 weeks, and when I came to Real Life Church, there were so many things that I wanted to help with. The first thing was to help set up for the missions conference that we had in June. So I said to Rochelle, I'll help you with the decorating. I'd done lots of different women's things, and I found some great decor ideas. But you know, the truth was, I actually had no idea how to pull it off. And I had the ideas. Anyone relate to this? You've got all the ideas, but you're not exactly sure how to pull it off. Well, I prayed and the Holy Spirit helped me by sending along the beautiful Michelle Cook. Is Michelle here today? Who is incredibly talented with decorating. And she was able to make all those ideas I had into a reality. Then the next thing I wanted to do, which was something very close to my heart, was I wanted all of our new people, our visitors, our new Christians, to be loved and well cared for. And even before I came, the Holy Spirit had already placed in the heart of the beautiful Karina Varg and also Sue Smith so that we could work together to host and care for people well. He is the way maker. He goes before you and he makes a way where there seems to be no way. The Holy Spirit is not just residing in us to help us within our own church community, but in the marketplace. Because, you know, the truth is there's just a couple of us who are on full-time staff. But for most of you, your ministry is out there in your neighbourhood. It's in your workplace. It's in your unchurched family. It's in your soccer club or your school. And so often what we do is we limit the workings of the Holy Spirit and we think it's just for within the church. But we have been empowered from on high to speak words of life into our communities, into our families, into our neighbourhoods, and to walk alongside people and speak wisdom into their lives and into their homes, to link arms with them and say, you're not alone, I care about you, with no hidden agendas. In fact, the word says about our position on this earth that we are salt and we are light. Matthew 5:13-16, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket but on the stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. There are so many opportunities for us to shine out there in our community. I'm looking at Steph right now. Steph's a chaplain in a school. She puts on a breakfast program in her schools. Every morning, there's children that come and she loves on them and she feeds them. And there's so many different ways that we can express the love of Christ in our community in both big ways and small. So be ready, be open, be available for God to use you. You know, a lot of us think that being able to see miracles and signs and wonders, it's only for the big high-profile pastors, you know, the ones you see on screen. But, you know, everyday Christians like you and I are really qualified for that too. In fact, the scripture says that the same spirit, exactly the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling and residing in every single one of us today. Romans 8:11, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit that dwells in you. Mark 16:17-18, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. By having the Holy Spirit activated in our lives, we have been given his authority, not our own. We can do nothing in our own strength. But we have been given his authority to be able to pray for people who are sick and see them healed. Not in our own strength, not in our own ability, but by operating in the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in us. You know, one of the many ways that the Holy Spirit operates is through different gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of those is the word of knowledge. And Karina contacted me in the week and said the Lord had actually put on her heart someone here this morning that needs healing. So, Karina, I'd like you to come and just share what the Holy Spirit has given you, please. And we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to this word. Thanks, Karina.
So it's only for first service today. Someone came in with left earache and sharp pain going down their left side of their neck. And God may have already healed you during this service already. The Lord wants you to reach out your hands in faith to receive, and he doesn't want you to strive. And as you step out in faith, he is also going to bring a refreshing to your spirit.
Amen. Thanks, Karina. Yeah, that is exactly the way the Holy Spirit comes in to help us.